all the fast days that we have in the year, you know, other than Yom Kippur, if the other ones fall out on Shabbos, which often happens, Tisha B'Av, Shavuot, Matamos fall out on Shabbos, kind of festive, this one will fall out on Shabbos. So we know that they get pushed off. In most cases, they get pushed forward. Tanitesta, they get pushed back because Purim can't be pushed forward. But says Avodram that would it be possible, if it would be possible that Asar B'Tevitz would fall out on Shabbos, then we would fast on Shabbos. In other words, you'll say, well, I've never heard such a thing in my life. So that's because of the fact that according to the way the Jewish calendar is set up, it's impossible for that to happen. Asar B'Tevitz can fall out on Friday, unlike the other fast days. It can fall out on Friday, which it sometimes does. And in that case, we fast on Friday. We don't push it back like we would do in Tainus Esther in the coming year, that we push it back to Thursday. Says Avraham that even if it would have been on Shabbos, we would fast because of the fact that the Navi here mentions the pasuk Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, that it keeps referring to the fact that on this very day, that there's an accentuation on the fact that it was on this day, and therefore, were that to be the case, he says, then this would mean that it must be on this day. The other fast days, even though they're targeted for a certain day, but one could argue that really they're referred to, as we'll see in a moment, by the month that they fell in, and therefore they could be pushed to a different day. But Tainus Esther Asar B'Tevitz has a certain feature to it that it must be on the 10th day of Tevis no matter what. Therefore, we fast it even if it falls on Friday. And says Avraham, theoretically, if it would be possible, we would fast it even if it fell out on Shabbos. Okay, now we have here the final reference. These are two references to the fast of Asar B'Tevitz. But the most often quoted reference to all of the Tanaisim is the following pasuk in Zechariah. The pasuk says, "Ko amar Hashem Tzevakot, Tzom haRavi v'Tzom haChamishi v'Tzom haShvi v'Tzom haAsiri." The four fasts that have to do with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, which are the Tzom HaRavi, the fast of the fourth month. Okay, the fast, you count from Nisan, the month, so you say Nisan, Iyar, and Sivan, Tammuz. So the fast of the fourth month would be Shavuot B'Tammuz. V'Tzom HaChamishi, and the fast of the fifth month would be, the next month is Av, that would be a reference to Tisha B'Av. V'Tzom HaShvi, the fast of the seventh month, we know the seventh month is the month of Tishrei, refers to Tzom Gedaliah. V'Tzom HaAsiri, and the fast of the tenth month, which is what we're in right now. So the Navi says, Yiyeh l'beis Yehuda l'sason u'l'simcha u'moadim tovim, that the day will come that all of these days will be for the Beis Yehuda, for the Jewish people, days of Sason and Simcha, days of happiness and rejoicing. Lo'adim Tovim, Ve'emes V'Shalom Ehavu. As long as people are focused on the truth and on Shalom, which are big yisodos that we know the world is built on, that Emes and Shalom are from the pillars of the world. So if the Klal Yisrael will get its act together, if Yisrael will, in effect, do tshuva, so then all of these fast days will become Yomim Tovim. And thus, the presumption is that, for example, when the Jews went back to Eretz Yisrael in the era of the second Beis HaMikdash, so all of these days were Yomim Tovim. In other words, what we commemorate today, you know, these fasts all were in place after the destruction of the first Mikdash. Okay, so even though the 17th day of Tammuz, which we fast, is the day that they breached the walls in the era of the second Beis HaMikdash, but nevertheless, there was a fast that the day of the first Mikdash was the 9th of Tammuz, and that was observed until the destruction of the second Mikdash. So there were always the four fasts. From the time that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, there were the four fasts. So the Navi says that there will be, that these days will turn into Yomim Sason, Simcha, Moadim Tovim, that these will turn in eventually into days of rejoicing and celebration. Now, this pasuk actually generated a bit of scrutiny in the Chazal because of what a diuk that the Chazal made. I don't think we would have been bothered by this, but there is discussion and what exactly the diuk is. But we'll see in a moment. The Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah and Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. The Gemara says the following. We have it here on the second side of the sheet. So we have here the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, which says, which we know that the system of communicating when Rosh Chodesh was a crucial part of Jewish life. Today it's a very simple thing. Mashiach will come, so you'll be able to, so revert back to the system of Kiddush HaKodesh that the Torah says, that with the two witnesses who identify the new moon. So how are you going to spread the word? It'll be very simple. You could put it on the internet, and in moments everybody will know about it. The whole world will know about it. Even before that, you just make a phone call or two, right? Send out a few text messages, and lo and behold, everybody will know. But in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, and even after the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, so long as the system of Kiddush HaKodesh was in place, so it was a challenge. How are you going to get the word out? So eventually, it got to the point, we discussed this one several years ago, it got to the point that they had to send out shluchim, that the Beis Din had to send out messengers to spread the word. At an earlier point, they used to make fires on mountaintops, but then the people began to corrupt the system. There were people who were antagonistic to the rabbis who made fires at the wrong time. So therefore, they ended up with a system that they had to send out shluchim, okay, which was a difficult process, and because you had to go travel to the far reaches, to as far as you can get, to the various communities of the Klal Yisrael. So the Mishnah tells us in Rosh Hashanah as follows. The Mishnah says, on the top here of the page, Al Shisha Chadashim Ashluchim Yotzim. The Mishnah tells us that they would send out, Bezin would send out messengers only 6 of the 12 months. It wouldn't be every month. It would be for 6 out of the 12 months. Which ones are they? So the Mishnah says, Al Nisan Mifnei HaPesach. They would send out for Nisan because of the upcoming Pesach. Al Av Mifnei HaTainis. The month of Av because of Tisha B'Av. Al Elul Mifnei Rosh Hashanah. They would send out for Elul due to Rosh Hashanah. This was obviously was not an Elul in the next month, but whatever, the Gemara discusses that. Right? Al Tishrei Mifnei Takanas HaMoados. In Tishrei, they would send out messengers because you have Yom Kippur and Sukkot and Shmini Atzeres coming up. Okay, Al Kislev Mifnei Chanukah, Val Adar Mifnei HaPurim. Okay, these were the 6 months that they would send out. The other months, which did not have significant days, significant observances in those months, so they did not send out messengers. They only sent out messengers for these 6. And the Mishnah concludes by saying, "Ukishoya Beis Hamikdash Kayam Yotim Apalir Mifnei Pesach Katan." That in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, they would send out also for Pesach Shein. Okay, some want to say that Tzuri Eben in his commentary to Rosh Hashanah says that the Mishnah says that they only sent out 6 months. So he says that in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, it was also only 6 months, because in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, there was no observance of Tisha B'Av, so therefore, they would delete Av and replace it with Iyar, because Iyar had Pesach Sheni. But after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, with the system of Kiddush HaKodesh, contrary to what a lot of people, I think, assume, that when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the whole Kiddush HaKodesh system went down the drain. That is absolutely not true. It continued long after the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore you see that here, that the Mishnah is saying that they would eat that in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they sent out for the month of Iyar. But the implication, obviously, is that after the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they sent out for the 6 and not for Iyar. Okay, that's the Mishnah. Now, what does this have to do with us? So the Gemara right away jumps in and says, "Belifkul nami atamas b'teves." Says the Gemara, "Wait a second! These are the only months that have auspicious days that fell out in them. That's not true. We have fast days. We only mentioned here, if you look at the Mishnah, so what fast days would have been covered? So we said that they sent out in Av because of Tisha B'Av, so then they sent out, you know, in the Rosh Hashanah season they went out also, so that would have covered Tzom Gedalia. Okay, so Purim they sent out, so that would have covered the Tainus Esther. But what about Tammuz and Teves? What about those? Why didn't they send out Shluchim? There's a fair. These are serious things. There are fast days on those months. Why were Shluchim not sent out to notify everyone in Klal Yisrael exactly when the day is? Says the Gemara the following remarkable thing, which is very, very basic to the wars to understand the Hilchos Taneisim. Says the Gemara, the Amar of Chana Bar Bizna, Amar Rav Shimon Chatziza, Ma'idik Siv, what is meant by this pasuk that we just cited from Zechariah? Ko Amar Hashem Tzuvoto, Tzom Raviv, Tzom HaChamishim, Tzom HaShvi, Tzom HaSiri, Yehu Beis Yehuda, Usasam Usimcha. Right? What is the pshat in this pasuk, asks the Gemara? Kari Wu Tzom, V'kari Wu Usasam Usimcha. There seems to be some sort of contradiction in the pasuk, because the pasuk is referring to these days as the Tzom HaRaviv, the Tzom HaChamishi, and it's saying that these sad days, are then referred to in the pasuk as Tzom and Simcha. So which one is it? Are they sad days or are they happy days? This is the Gemara's question. Now, the truth be told, I don't think any one of us would have been bothered by that question, because we'll say, well, read the pasuk, that what it's saying is that the fast will turn into happy days. So what's the big deal? So this is discussed amongst the Achronim, on the look in the Beis Yosef, in the Bach, on the Tur, that discuss what exactly the Gemara was bothered by, what was the deal the Gemara was making. In other words, some say that the implication is because it says Tomer Viva Toma Chamishi, and instead it should have just referred to the month. In other words, if anyway you're referring to the fast day by the month, so it should have said that whatever is, you know, that month will turn into a month of happiness. Instead of saying that month will be Tzom HaRaviv, Tzom HaChamishi. Okay, whatever it is, one could look in the Achronim and see how they explain the Gemara's question. But nonetheless, the Gemara is asking this kasha, that it says, in the one hand, the fast day is referred to as a tzom, the day of, let's say, Asar B'Tevis is referred to as a tzom, and on the other hand, it's referred to as a day of happiness. Says the Gemara, Bizman Sheyesh Shalom Yiyu Usasan Usimcha. What the pasuk means to say is like this, that when there will be shalom, when there will be peace, so then there will be days of happiness. But ain't shalom, but if there will not be peace, then there will be a tzom. Then that seems to be the simple meaning of the pasuk, meaning that if they, and shalom, the Mepharshim say, means that the Beis HaMikdash will be standing. If the Beis HaMikdash will be standing, there'll be happy days, and if not, not. So the Gemara's question is, if that's the case, so then why didn't we send out the Shluchim? In other words, apparently what the Gemara seems to be saying is that one might have thought that since these fast days were all up and running after the Churban of the first Beis HaMikdash, so once the Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt, so they're all bustled. Because the Nevi'im, there were no Nevi'im in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, right? As we know, that at the very, very beginning, you had the last Nevi'im, Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, you had Ezra, Nehemiah, you had, at the very, very beginning, but during the era of most of the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, there were no Nevi'im. In fact, we don't read about the destruction of the second Mikdash in any of the books of the Tanakh. Right, that's only found, descriptions of that era are found in the Mishnah and the Gemara. That's where they're found. The Gemara is the most commonly in Gittin, in the Yerushalmi and Tainus, right? But that's because there were no Nevi'im at that time. In the fast days were put, who is responsible for these fast days? In other words, if you look in the Chumash, does it say to fast on Asar B'Tevet? Of course not. Right, because it commemorates an event that happened later on. So these fasts were put into effect by the prophets, by the Nevi'im. Takanas Nevi'im, called me Divrei Sofrim. Now, one might have thought that based on this pasuk in Zechariah, that well, when that the Navi is saying that the day will come that these days will become holidays. So thus, once the Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt, goodbye fast days. They're all over. You'll say, but what do you mean, but then the Beis Mikdash was destroyed again? Okay, but who's there to institute the fast? In other words, maybe if the rabbis of that era wanted to arrange a fast, they could have done so, but it's not the fast that's described in the Nevi'im. So what the Gemara here is telling us is that what Zechariah was telling them was the following. Zechariah was saying that it's not going to be automatically over. Rather, the way it's going to work is like this. If there's going to be, this is for all Jewish history, if there's going to be Shalom, meaning if there's going to be a Beis HaMikdash, then these days are happy days. And if there's not going to be a Beis HaMikdash, then these days remain sad days. So therefore, even if the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, but then it'll be destroyed again, the fast come back into play. The fast come back into play. And as such, the Gemara's question is that if that's true, so then even after the Chorban of the second Beis HaMikdash, which clearly this Mishnah was written after the Chorban of the second Beis HaMikdash, so at that point they should have still been sending out Shluchim. Bezdin at that point should have sent out Shluchim, so they should have sent out messengers to notify everybody when is Rosh Chodesh for the month of Teves and the month of Tammuz. Says the Gemara the following. So Amar Rav Papa, to which Rav Papa says as follows. Rav Papa says, "Hachi Kama, Bizman sheyeh shalom yiyu l'sasun l'simcha." He said, this is the way he interprets the pasuk, that when there will be shalom, meaning when the Beis HaMikdash will be standing, then these days will be happy days. Yesh zeres hamalchus tzom. If there is going to be persecution of the Jewish people, then these will be fast days. But ain't zeres hamalchus, the ain't shalom. But what happens if you have no mikdash, but you also have no persecution? What would be then? Says Rava, then ratzu misanin, ratzu ain misanin. Then it comes out, in such a situation, it is an optional fast. It's an optional fast. You don't necessarily have to fast. It's up to the generation to decide. It's up to the people to decide. You want to fast or you don't want to fast? Okay, in other words, what the pasuk is saying is that the way these fast days were instituted was there are three levels. If the Beis HaMikdash is down and there is persecution, then we have these fast days. If the Beis HaMikdash is up, then we have happiness. Then it's become Yom Tovim. If the Beis HaMikdash is down, but there is no persecution, then it's an option. It's an optional fast. Okay, so now, getting back to our share. So if we stop right here, so now we can go get the coffee and the donuts. Because you'll say, okay, perfect. What do we live in today? We live in today a world where there is no Beis HaMikdash, but there is, Baruch Hashem, no real persecution. So as such, we'll put it up for a vote right here. I would assume, I'll take the liberty to assume that the popular opinion will be we should not fast. And therefore, that's it. It's over. That's what Gemara says. Right? So we'll soon see. Okay, but that's the way it's being put forward over here. To which the Gemara then turns around before we come back to earth. The Gemara says, wait a second, if that's true, Ihochi Tisha B'Av Nami. Ask the Gemara, then you shouldn't have to pass Tisha B'Av either. Right? Then that's it. We'll do away with all of them. And the Gemara's question is that apparently is not so, because the Mishnah said that they would send out the messengers. Bezin would send, the Sanhedrin would send out the messengers for the month of Av. But if you're going to tell me, in other words, what's the Gemara saying? It seems that what the Gemara is saying is that the reason why, the Gemara's question was, why didn't they send out messengers to Teves and Tammuz? There are fast days in those months, so why didn't they send out? So the answer apparently is because it's not such a big deal, those fasts. Because in our time, meaning the time that the Gemara was being written, was a time of shalom, was ain shalom. There was no shalom, but at the same time, there was also no gzeres malchus. The Jews in that time were not living under persecution. So therefore, at that point, there was no reason to send out the messengers because it's not such a big deal. It's not such a big deal. It's an optional fast. You want to fast, fast. You don't want to fast, don't fast. For that, we don't have to send out messengers. To which the Gemara says, well, but how could that be? Then why did they send out the Tisha B'Av? They shouldn't have sent out Tisha B'Av either. Right? It says they sent out the month of Av. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Papa, Zhani Tisha B'Av, Ho V'Huch V'Luv V'Otzar. Says the Gemara that Tisha B'Av is different. Tisha B'Av was never an option because of the fact that Tisha B'Av was a day that had many tzaros. Damar Mar, because the Gemara says, B'Tisha B'Av, Tzarav Habayit B'Rishona, Ubishnia, that the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed both times on Tisha B'Av, and the Nilta of Beitar, but other tragedies took place. The city of Beitar was captured, which was an enormous tragedy. V'Nechrash HaHir, and Yerushalayim was plowed. So a lot of terrible things happened on Tisha B'Av, and therefore Tisha B'Av always remained the fast. Right, Tosfos here on the top of the page asks the question that what do you mean? We say the Gemara tells us that on Shavuos B'Tamuz also many things happened. That Moshe broke the Luchos on Shavuos B'Tamuz, that the carbon Tamuz was bottled. It wasn't just that they breached the walls of the city. So Tosfos says, well, the Churban Beis Hamikdash trumps everything, and that happened twice on Tisha B'Av, and therefore Tisha B'Av got its own, was put on its own pedestal. Okay, that's what Tosfos says over here. Okay, that the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash was on Tisha B'Av, and the same tragedy happened twice, meaning Beit HaMikdash was destroyed twice, both on the same day. So therefore, that became special. But the other fasts are options. If the other fasts are options, so therefore we don't send out messengers. So that being, this is it. This is the Maskana of the Gemara. Finished. This is, you close up, you love your whole Shas. There's no addendum to this. That's all. So therefore, it should come out, based on this, we passed the Malachas based on what it says in the Gemara, it should come out that today should be an optional fast. That's what the Gemara is saying, right? Now, this might not have been true throughout the Golos. In other words, in the Holocaust era, so then it would have been a Chiyuv to fast. Then the Navi's fast would have come back. Right? In other words, that's the time of Zeres Malchus, right? In different areas, in the terrible times in the Golos, the Jews lived in difficult situations, then the fast would have been a mandated fast by the prophet. But what about in America in the year 2013? You don't have that. So you see, it's true you don't have to pay something. That's true. But, excuse me, you also don't have Zeres Malchus. So that being the case, it should be an optional fast. Alright, so now you'll say we know this isn't so. So the person that we could thank for this, the people that are responsible for why we fast today, the Taras Chiyuv, would be found in the Rishonim. Okay, and primarily the Ramban in the Sefer Taras HaAdam, which is going to be quoted here in the Ran on the bottom of the page. Okay, so if you look here at the commentary of the Ran says as follows. The Ran says that the Ran discusses this very point, right? So he says, why is it that we fast today? He says that Wafizeh, if you go to the fourth line, he says, Wafizeh ho izna hanach somos farmi tishabav beratzutol. So it should come out that all the fast days other than tishabav, and tishabav is in the league by itself. Right, that the Gemara says Tisha B'Av is not up for discussion, but the other three, right, which pertain to the Korban, the other three like today should be up for discussion. So he says Ela Shaharamban Zal Kosav B'Sefer Taras HaOzam, the Ratzu Rov Yisrael the Rishkimu Shalolis Anos, the Ratzu Rov Yisrael, that the reason why we fast today is because it was Ratzu, because even though the Gemara says it was an option, but that option was already decided upon. In other words, the Gemara does not mean that it isn't the Ratzu. According to the Ramban, the option was not given to every generation, but rather it was an option that was handed over to the Klal Yisrael, and somewhere along the line, going back very, very far, because the Ramban lived 800 years ago, and he's saying that in his time people fasted. So he says that this is because it was already agreed upon by the Klal Yisrael that we're going to fast. He says, well, if that's the case, so then you'll say, well, but that can't be, because the Mishnah said that they didn't send out messengers. So he says that the schemu shalol lezanos kamrinan she'ein bezdin hitrichim alem lezanos. He says that bezdin would not force anybody. In other words, when it says rotsu in the Gemara, it means that bezdin's not forcing anybody. In other words, there was no official pressure to do it. But if there was ever a time that Klal Yisrael decided that we're going to accept it, then we are bound by that. So he says, "Vashuk farosu v'nagul lezanos l'fikav osur liyachid lifros kidron." Says Ramban, so we don't have the option anymore. Okay, here's the bad news. Okay, in other words, because even though the Gemara makes it sound like it's an option, says the Ramban, but it was universally accepted by all Jews, Ashkenazim, Sephardim, everybody at some point way back, that everybody should fast. And therefore, it is prohibited for a person to be Koris Geder. It is prohibited for a person to breach this. Okay, and if you turn over the page, with this we could understand a line in the Shulchan Aruch. If you look in Simon Tavkuf Nun Sif Aleph, so it says, "Hakol chayoven lezanos arba tzomos halalu v'osu lifros geder." It says everyone's obligated to fast, and you're not allowed to breach the idea of the fast. In other words, you can't be a paris geder, means a person breaches the wall, meaning you can't be someone who goes against this policy. So one could ask on the Shulchan Aruch that, well, why does he say that over here? In other words, we find many halachas. There's the whole Shulchan Aruch is replete with halachas. Do this, don't do that. So it doesn't use this expression in other places, that you're not allowed to be parted together, that you're not allowed to breach the rule. Why over here specifically does it say that? So the answer is because of the fact that the fast that we have is a fast that's based on an acceptance of the Klal Yisrael. It's not based on exclusively on the original fast that was put into play after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, because it was left up to people to decide. But since Klal Yisrael at some unknown point, the members of the Klal Yisrael got together and decided, that's it, we're going to fast, so therefore it became binding upon all generations to fast, and therefore that's why here in particular we have this expression that one is not allowed to be part of together, that one is not allowed to breach it, because so theoretically one would think, well, I can do what I want. So the Shulchan Aruch says, no, that's not the case. Okay, and this is all based on the Ramban. And if you just revert back to the Ramban for a moment, the Ramban adds, the Kol Shekein B'Doros Halolu, the Ramban lives in Spain in the 13th century, and the Ramban says, certainly, in our time, Sharei Bavonoseinu, Sharabu, Yesh Zerub Yisrael, Sharabu Zerub Yisrael, the Ein Sholom, Hilka Chayovin HaKol L'Zanos, Midibre Kabor, Chatanos Nevin. Says the Ramban, so therefore, he says, especially in our times, meaning in his world that he lived in, he says there were already Gzeiros. Ramban was before the time of the Spanish Inquisition, but nevertheless, things were already beginning to turn against the Jews, even in his time, as we know from the fact that Ramban participated in the famous dispute, the famous date with the representatives of the church. So there was already, things were beginning to turn. So the Ramban says, if that's the case, then there's nothing to talk about. He says, then you're absolutely, it's not even an option. Then you're mechuyev because of what the pasuk said. Okay, but if not, so then it would be a question of whether you want to do it or not, but unfortunately, the ballots are not being sent out anymore. In other words, this was decided a long time ago, it's not up for any discussion, and so says the Ramban. Now, with this in mind, we can understand a basic difference. You'll say, so at the end of the day, so okay, very interesting, but what does this have to do with us? I mean, say, okay, so what did I gain from this year? Really nothing, because I came in knowing I had to fast, and I walked out knowing I had to fast. So what did I do? There's still no donuts, no coffee, or anything like that. Okay, so one thing that becomes clear from this is now you could appreciate a little bit why there is a distinction between Tisha B'Av and the other fast days as far as how strictly the fast is observed. In other words, this morning, a person was allowed to wash up to some degree. We'll soon see about that. But certainly, we're all wearing shoes or leather on our feet, whatever. There's no prohibition against wearing shoes. There is no prohibition on putting on any sort of cologne or anything else that would constitute sikha. There is no prohibition on a fast day of marital relations like there is on Tisha B'Av. So you'll ask the question, why should that be? If all the fast days commemorate the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, why the difference? So, if you would stop a guy in the street and ask him that question, you'd say, well, probably the reason is because Tisha B'Av is worse, because the Beis HaMikdash is actually destroyed. But that's not really such a good answer, because, okay, it's true, but it happened in stages. So the first stage happened today. So if we're going to have these very strict rules on Tisha B'Av, why don't we have them today also? So here is where this Gemara that we just read kicks in. Because since the observance of the fast today is only because of a mass acceptance of the Klal Yisrael, I remember the Gemara said that there's a difference between Tisha B'Av and all the other fast days. Because Tisha B'Av, right, because all the three fasts besides Tisha B'Av are up to the question of Ratzu versus Ein Ratzu. Do the people want to accept it or not? However, when it comes to Tisha B'Av, the Gemara said that's not true. The Gemara said that because of the fact that the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed not once but twice on Tisha B'Av, so therefore that is not up for discussion. As a result, the laws change from Tisha B'Av to a regular fast. In other words, the Rishonim explains in that rhyme also, but just in the interest of saving time, I'll speak it out, that really, inherently, every fast should be prohibited from the five. The five things that are prohibited on a fast day are the Yom Kippur, which is where it's all derived from. The Torah says that the Nisan is not Shoseichem and Yom Kippur, and refers to the five things. Eating and drinking is one, and wearing shoes is number two, and anointing oneself is number three, Rechitza is number four, and marital relation number five. Right? Those are the five things that are prohibited. They are prohibited on Yom Kippur, they are prohibited on Tisha B'Av. Okay? The Rishonim say they really should be prohibited on every fast day. Because that has to do with the fact that it's a tiny seaboard. That's what goes into a public fast day. So why don't we observe that today by these fasts? The answer is because of the fact that these fasts had to do with acceptance. This is Ratzu. So once it was put up for acceptance, so now the people can accept it any way they want. So the Rishonim say that even though in the history of the Jewish people, it came out that there was apparently a time that there was a mass acceptance. In other words, the Gemara was not leaving it up for a vote in every generation. Apparently, somewhere, at some point, everybody decided that we're going to observe these fasts. But because at that time it was up to them, they only accepted it as far as fasting. So eating and drinking, that they accepted. But what about the other things? The other things they didn't accept. So therefore, that explains very simply why we have this discrepancy between Tisha B'Av and the other fast days. In other words, really, it's inherent in a fast day that all five should be blocked. But because Tisha B'Av was never up for a vote, and the other four were, so when they put it up for a vote, the results were, right, the Electoral College came in, right, and said that this is the way it's going to work. We're going to accept not to eat and drink, but the other things we're going to do. Yes? Oh, good question. So then it should come out that this should not always have been true. This should not always have been true. So the truth of the matter is, so let's see about this. So if you look in the here on the second sheet, the first side, okay, Simon Tafkuk Nun Sif Aleph. So you don't have the whole quote on this page, but the part that's needed is on this page. That little Rachmanis is on the person who made the copy. So you'll see like this: Simin Tafkuf Nun Sif Beis. The last line of the Shulchan Aruch, the top section of the page, says Somos Halalu Chutz Mitisha B'Av Mutarim Berechitza, and that's where it cuts off. But I'll read you the rest of it: Mutarim Berechitza Sicha Nilus Hasandal Tasha Mita. Right, that all of these other fasts are permitted, the other four things that we restrict on Tisha B'av and Yom Kippur, and I left something out, and also the Ein Tzarech L'Hafsek Pemetz Mibol Yom. And also, this is why, by the way, we don't begin the fast from last night. In other words, the other big difference between Tisha B'av and Yom Kippur and the regular, so to speak, fast days is that Tisha B'av and Yom Kippur begin at the sundown of the day before, but not this fast, right? Why not? So again, it's the same reason. Because since it was inherently a fast day should begin from the night before. But since these fasts were put up for a vote, so therefore when they decided that they're going to accept it, they said we're only going to accept it from now, from in the daytime. First of all, we're going to accept only eating and drinking, the only prohibition of that, not the other thing, and also only in the daytime. Now, what about the question, the what about in other times? So if you look here on the sheet in the Mishnah Berurah, so the Mishnah Berurah says in the Mishnah Berurah Sifkan Vav, okay, says as follows. The Mishnah Berurah says Mutarin Berachisa. He says the Bishar Sherasul the Kibu Aleim Gosom Bechol Arba Tainus Hanal. Says the Mishnah Berurah, what we mentioned, that when they accepted these fasts, Lo Kibu Aleim Sheir Bechomer Tainus Tibur Ketisha B'Av. They never accepted it that it should be like Tisha B'Av. Why didn't they do that, by the way, just for the record, why did they vote in that way? So they said, their reasoning was, it's too hard for people, too much to ask. So therefore we'll accept the fast on a lower level. Now, says the Mishnah Berurah, a line which most people like to ignore, but a line that has to be taken into account, says the Mishnah Berurah, Ubal Nefesh Yachmer B'Kulon Kamo B'Tisha B'Av. Says the Mishnah Berurah that a Bal Nefesh, that a person who is concerned about his spirituality, however you translate the word Bal Nefesh, a person who is scrupulous in his observance of mitzvahs, really should observe all of them. He says, if a woman went to the mikveh the night before the fast, so then that would be different, then she could be with her husband. And also, he says, with shoes also, it would be lenient. But what about bathing, let's say? In other words, take those out, okay? So what do you have left? So you have bathing and anointing. Okay, anointing, not the biggest deal, right? So anointing really would just mean like for a man, would mean a cologne or something like that. Okay, but dating is a serious thing, right? That's something that's relevant. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Bal Nefesh Yachmer. Now, why is that? So if you look down below in the Sharafsian, the footnotes here, Sharafsian, so he says in letter test, Dehoidna Motzlik Zeros Minovig Kochovim. He says, you know why? You know why the Achronim say, Mishnah Berurah didn't make this up. The Mishnah Berurah said that a person should be machmer not to bathe on a fast day. You know why? Because of the fact that today there are persecutions of Jews. Or at least talking in his time. There are persecutions of Jews. So if that's the case, so then the observance of the fast is not because of the vote. The observance of the fast is not because of Ratzu, but rather it's because of what Zechariah said, that this is the fast. That they made the fast, they made the fast. That's what the Gemara says, that if there's no Shalom and there is Malchus, then you have the fast. Exactly as they were put into play in the first place. So therefore, it would come out that according to that, it's highly questionable if a person could bathe on a fast day. Now, you will say, so this is, you know, good, I didn't put that in the title of the share, right? I take a shower, right, on a fast day. So the truth of the matter is that you could, now here, in our times, up for discussion, right? Because it's the whole reason that you can't do it is because it's there, so they could love him, and then you'll say, but today, Baruch Hashem, you don't have that. So now, maybe you can revert back to the, now we're back in the Rutsu territory. In other words, what's remarkable is that the fast that we have today of Asar B'Teves and the Shavasar B'Tamuz and Tzom Gedalia, those three fasts, really have evolved over time in terms of how they should be observed. Because if things are bad, then you have the absolute clear kindness. And perhaps, he doesn't say this, but you know, maybe in a really bad time, they would even have to consider starting the fast from the night before. Because of the fact that that's what the kindness is. why we don't do this today because of the fact that there's no Xerah. But throughout the history, that vacillated. So in the year 2013, you could say that Baruch Hashem, there's no Xerah. Hard to know. So it happens to be... Yeah, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Where is that? Yeah, yeah, thank you. He says at the end, he says that if you look at this, you have to get the magnifying glass for this, he says at the end of the Sharatian, V'ayin Zeliya Rav Hashem HaShuaz, V'al Nefesh Tzarek L'Hav Tzikam Nibod Yom, that there were people that said that you should start the Eliya Rav, respected Pulsic, often quoted, it said that you should start the fast from the night before. So why don't we do this? So the reason we don't do this, I guess, is because of the fact that we live in good times. The observance of the fast days in this regard is very much based on minhag. In other words, the minhag is, no one, I don't think anyone ever heard of such a thing, that somebody started the time of the Asarah B'Teves from last night, or that when it comes to sikha, that a person would refrain from putting on some sort of a cologne or something like that, or a woman putting on perfume on a fast day, on a regular fast day. We haven't heard that. Right, but if you would ask somebody why not, they'll say, because that's not the minute. That is the right answer. It's not the minute, meaning that we don't do it. Probably the reason we don't do it is because, on the one hand, it's difficult, and on the other hand, it's not really Zeres Malchus. So therefore, we have to appreciate, in terms of the observance of the fast, we have to appreciate the times that we live in. Because the times that we live in make Asarah B'Teves not a big deal, right? You look on the clock, this is the easiest, shortest fast of the year, right? It's already over, just shortly at whatever exact time is, not long after 6 o'clock. You can't come back in the summer, the Shabbos of the Commons will be 9 o'clock when it's over, right? So you say, this is great. Well, it's only great because of the times that we live in. If we would have lived in different times, then it wouldn't be different. It would be the same 24 hours, you would have started last night from right as soon as Shabbos ended, or from the Shkia yesterday, even before Shabbos ended. So therefore, this explains the difference that we have in the observance of the fast. Now it happens to be, just for the record, there is a minhag which is brought down that when it comes to washing with hot water, there is a minhag that says that a person should not do that even today. Okay, that is brought down when Rechitza B'Chamin, he says, the Mishpura discusses later on that when it comes to Rechitza B'Chamin, that is something that was observed, that is observed by some people even today. Okay, so if you look back at the Sharat Sion here, if you go back to the previous citation, he says, Ba'ayin Ba'aterezah, which is the Levush, Akasav, Da'avshav, Ein Ogen, Lirchot, Begimul Tzomot, that we don't bathe on the three fast days. The custom between the God and the Hainu B'chamin, Abu Bitsonein Yeshlom and the Shari. So there are, now again, it's hard to really put this into the proper perspective because you don't know what was going on in the world when they decided this. But there was a decision, there was a minhag that evolved hundreds of years ago not to bathe in hot water on Tisha B'av, on days like today, Tisha B'av for sure, but even on the days like today. So there are people that are careful about this, and that therefore even if a person would take a shower on Asarah B'Teves, but the person would have to really take a colder shower than usual. In other words, the type of shower that you would take, let's say, during the 9 days in our times that people are lenient that we take a shower in the 9 days. So that really would be the type of shower that a person should take on a day like today. In other words, the Rechitza B'Chamin, for some reason, I don't know why that somehow got over and everything else didn't, but somehow they decided that's part of the package also. That to take a really comfortable, steaming hot shower on a day like today when it's cold outside, take a shmaka hot shower, so that already, the minhag by many, many people is not to do it. But that, again, is only if it's very hot water. If the water is cooled off a little bit, don't make it that it should be so enjoyable, then it would be okay. But as far as everything else, We don't observe them today, even though the Mishnah Berurah says Baal Nefesh Yachmer, the minhag of people is not to do any of these other things today. Okay, we're over the time, but just that I have not yet addressed the topic of the shiur. So the question that we have to have a hook to get people to come, and then discuss what you want to discuss besides that. So, okay, so now if you turn over the page, so we come to Siman Tavkuf Samches. The Shulchan Aruch says the following thing. It says, the Shulchan Aruch here is talking about a person not on a fast like this, but a person who took upon himself a vow to fast. All right, which throughout Jewish history has been a form of tshuva that people who want to spend a day in you know, contemplation. So usually a fast is an appropriate setting for that, because if you don't eat, so you're staying away from the gashmias, so it's easier to focus. So that this was always, from time immemorial, a Jewish way of a form of repentance, or you know, an aspect of it. So the Shulchan Aruch says that Nadal is not as Yom Zev Shachat V'Ochal. If a person made a nether that he's going to fast on a specific day and he forgot and he ate Maslim Taniso, he should continue fasting. Okay, now that's not us. Because we're Tainus Tibur, but he continues and says, "V'uah dinam haya Tainus Chalom, O Shehaya Tainus Tibur, O Shehaya Yom Yadulo Lezanos." If it would have been a fast due to a bad dream, or it would be a Tainus Tibur like today, or if it would be a yard site, Kiyom Shneis Bo Aviv O Rabo, if some people observe a fast on those days. So he says, in those situations, if a person ate by accident, what should he do? Should he say, oh my gosh, I woke up this morning, so I have a coffee maker right next to my bed, so I get that big jolt as soon as I wake up in the morning, right, and I, oh my gosh, today is the Sarbatev. So what do you do in such a situation? The answer is, you say, well, all right, that's it, you know, I blew it, so once I blew it, now I'll go to the restaurant for breakfast. So the answer is no. The answer is that a person mashlim taniso. The person should resume the fast. It makes no difference how much you had. If it was just a cup of coffee or you had it breakfast, whatever it was, mashlim taniso. Because this day is the specific day to fast. What's going to help the fast tomorrow? This is the day that you have to fast. We're fasting because of the commemoration of what happened today. So therefore, the halacha is mashlim taniso. Surprisingly, and something which I can't fully explain, the Mishnah Berurah says that such a person could even say Anenu in his Tfilas Mincha, which we know the general rule that a person who is not fasting on a fast day for any reason does not say Anenu in the Shemona Esrei, because the prayer says Anenu Biyom Tzom Tanisenu, he's saying on the day of our fast, so it's not true, you're not fasting. So nevertheless, the Mishnah Berurah says that this guy could say it. So if a person, should this ever happen to somebody, that you fast, and if you unwittingly break your fast, you walk by the water fountain, you forget, oh my gosh, I forgot, I should have drank. Keep fasting, right? Just keep fasting. There are those that have the custom that they try to fast another day to make it as a form of kapara, but that's not an obligation. People get stuck in such a situation. But in terms of, is it over? It's not over. Should I feel bad about it? What could you do? You know, all right. So I'll get stuck up to make up for it. But the fact is that if that happens, you keep fasting. Along those lines, a person who is not fasting on a fast day, it doesn't either, in the same spirit, it doesn't mean that therefore you can party. In other words, many people, due to illnesses, it doesn't take much to not have to fast on one of these days. Any person who's in the category of a cholish, aimbo, sakana, a person who's bedridden, even if it's not a life-threatening thing, a person who has a flu, does not have to fast on a day like today, etc. So such a person, you say, well, I don't have to fast, great! So, you know, let's party, we'll party on. So the answer is, a person who doesn't have to fast on a fast day should still exercise restraint. In other words, you don't go to a restaurant on a time, I mean, unless for some reason there was a need to, you know, but in that zone food. But the fact of the matter is that this is something that is the spirit of a fast day remains. Even if a person does not fast, but the spirit remains. And if a person should be fasting and forgets, you keep fasting once you remember. Yes, sir.